This is Great FM.
You know that saying, all good things start with data? You probably haven't because I just came up with it. Welcome to Great FM, everybody. Ahalya here. But you know what? It's true because in today's day and age, protecting ourselves online is incredibly important. And we're going to have a conversation on the intersection of HR and the 2023 Digital Personal Data Protection Act. It's a mouthful, but also an interesting thing to explore because HR and data protection, not the most obvious link, right? So for the rest of this episode, because it's a mouthful, we're going to refer to it as DPDPA, but it can only be a good conversation if we start with the stats. So according to Resmo.com, 33% of global consumers have experienced a data breach, and 44% of data breaches include customer names, email addresses, and passwords. That is very scary stuff. It's the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night. And in the context of a workplace, it's a very pressing concern for organizations world over. And any matter of concern of the workplace is usually a concern for HR professionals. But if you're thinking what exactly HR can do about it, this is the podcast episode for you. So let's invite Mehak Khanna, partner Khaitan and Khaitan, to help us decode all of this. Hi, Mehak. Thank you so much for being here and for bringing your expertise to the podcast today. We really need it.
Hi, Alia. Thank you for having me. And it's a great subject and I'm excited to have a productive discussion. Yeah, let's begin.
Okay, let's begin. Let the games begin, as they say. So, you know, let's start at that intersection, Mehak. You know, I'm sure HR actually does have a lot of legal considerations to make during the course of their daily work. And that's something that a lot of people may glean over, right? But in the context of DPDPA, can you give us a quick introduction of the act and set the context for us? And then we'll take it forward from there.
Sure. So Alia, just to give a quick background on what DPDPA is and what it does. So it's basically a comprehensive legislation which has been introduced for the first time in India. And it, you know, this particular legislation addresses the handling of personal data in the digital era. And this particular legislation aims to safeguard the individual's privacy by regulating the processing of data, the storage of data, the management of data, and of course, imposing obligations on organizations and helping them establish certain mechanisms for data protection. Mm-hmm. And yes, in the context of HR professionals, this particular legislation is important because going forward, they will need to focus their attention on having a proactive approach towards data protection. They'll have to implement robust processes and of course try to foster a culture of compliance within the organization as far as privacy is concerned. Okay. So yeah, a lot of work there for the HR professionals.
Okay, nice. Thank you for bringing up that intersection. I want to take the conversation further from there. Which provisions are the most important, do you think, for HR professionals to consider? And also if you could sort of carve out some of the key provisions of the Act.
Sure. So, I mean, this particular act applies to the processing of digital personal data within India, wherever this data is collected online or if it is collected offline and is digitized. And it will also apply to the processing of personal data outside of India if it is for offering goods or services in India. So the scope is fairly broad. And what this particular law lays down is that personal data may be processed only for a lawful purpose and after obtaining the consent of the individual. And a notice is, you know, an important part of seeking consent as per this particular law. And that notice should contain all the details of the personal data that is to be collected of a particular individual and the purpose of processing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this consent typically is not required if there's a legitimate use. And one of the factors of legitimate use under the law is employment. So technically, for the purposes of employment, ideally, you know, if any services are to be provided or any benefits are to be given to the employees or, you know, for their payroll or so on and so forth, then the assumption is that, you know, a specific consent might not be required. But right now we just have a skeleton of the law. We don't have the procedural rules and the government is yet to notify those. So we'll have to wait for the rules to come out to be able to actually see what all entails as part of the process of employment that will not require a specific specific consent of the individuals. Having said that, one can fairly and safely assume that the processes prior to employment might not be covered. So specific consent is going to be required for processing of data, and that includes interview processes and background checks, so on and so forth.
Okay. So clearly a lot of considerations for HR and a need for them to step in as well. I hope every HR professional out there is really paying attention. And, you know, before we dive into the very tangible steps that HR professionals can take in order to make an organization compliant with the DPDPA, Mehak, I do want to ask you, you know, in my experience over the past couple of years as a podcaster, especially the last 2 years, right, I have noticed a sharp rise in a lot of companies paying very close attention to ethics and compliance. It has become a growing concern, I think, because of the level of accountability, perhaps, that one has to now face if they are not compliant. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, what is the importance of process when it comes to making an organization compliant? Because as we know, processes, that is a very HR-specific focus area.
No, absolutely. You know, you're 100% right. And, you know, in terms of laying out a detailed process, it is important for every organization to take all of the stakeholders and their considerations into account. Mm-hmm. And HR specifically can go the extra mile by conducting regular trainings, by just, you know, fostering a culture of awareness where people actively engage in asking questions and in exchanging information and in raising concerns wherever they see any. And of course, you know, in integrating data protection as part of the organization's policies from top to bottom so that it penetrates towards the lower levels as well. So I think all of these are extremely important in having a compliance culture.
Fantastic. Okay. So now let's move into the actual steps that HR can take. Just to get one fact out of the way, have there been any timelines set, you know, for compliance to be completed with DPDPA?
There is no timeline as of now. The Act, when it was notified in August 2023, did mention that the central government will come up with the different timelines for bringing out certain different provisions into effect, but that has not happened. And also the body that is going to take care of the disputes pertaining to data protection under this particular act, and that is going to be the Data Protection Board. It's going to be a separate judicial authority that has not yet been constituted. So, I mean, safe to say that till the time the rules don't come in and the authority is not set up, you know, nothing is going to move aggressively as far as this particular law is concerned. But considering it is a law and it has been notified in the official gazette and it has the president's consent, one would of course need to prepare for the implementation. But yeah, no timelines as such. And considering that the elections are approaching, one can only guess whether this is going to be prior to the elections or after the elections.
Yeah, no, I also like what you said, you know, it is a law. So I have to talk now about those, you know, we've spoken about the cultural aspects of compliance. Maybe let's elaborate on DPDPA compliance within organizations. What are some immediate steps that HR should be taking?
Sure. I think one of the first steps would be to conduct a data audit. Okay. And to figure out what are the various sources of data, what is the volume of data that the organization is dealing with, how much of it is employee data, how much of it is vendor data, how much of it is customer data, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. The second is going to be, you know, to conduct a privacy impact assessment just to evaluate the potential risks and the impacts of data processing activities on an individual's privacy at the organizational level. Right. This actually helps in identifying and then, of course, later on mitigating certain potential privacy risks. The third is going to be to start updating and aligning the privacy policies and the organizational policies and procedures to align with the new legal requirements. So it's important that these policies are transparent, they're clearly communicated to all the individuals, and they cover all the necessary aspects of data processing. The fourth point is going to be to conduct training. Like I had mentioned earlier, the training and awareness, they're quite important at an organizational level to drive compliance. So it's important to conduct training sessions to educate all the employees on the new data protection requirements and to ensure that, you know, everyone understands their roles and responsibilities as far as safeguarding the data is concerned. And the next point is going to be to ensure a comprehensive consent management process and to be able to integrate that at the organizational level.
Okay.
And then the next point is going to be, you know, to take all the technical, organizational, and business measures and strengthen the data security processes, have, you know, disaster recovery plans in place, have incident response plans in place, so on and so forth. And I think lastly, just to make everyone aware across the organization of the important rights that every individual has in respect of this law. And, you know, the first is, of course, to seek more information as to how the data is processed. Secondly, you know, organizations would have to give the right to the individuals, which they, of course, have under the law, but they'll have to implement it for them. The second right is to have the right to correction and erasure of data. So at any given point in time, any individual whose data resides with an organization, they can ask for the data to either be removed or corrected. The third right, which an individual has in respect of their data, is to nominate any other individual to exercise the rights on their behalf in the event of their death or incapacity. So these are the important rights that an individual has, and an organization would need to recognize it, would need to document it, and would need to have processes to be able to implement all of this.
Thank you very much, Mehak, for actually nailing down all of those. I think it's very important consideration for HR also because of the employee rights perspective, right? Every people professional really does have to look out for every individual of the workforce. And when it comes to data privacy and the rights that they have, awareness is paramount, right? So thank you so much
Yes.
for bringing that up as well. We're reaching the end of the podcast. I do want to ask you, we've discussed a lot about the pros of this act, right? But I also do want to talk to you a little bit about not the cons of the act itself, but some warning signs that you'd like to give listeners, you know, maybe behaviors or actions that could cause serious penalties that HR should look out for, you know, because I think this is something when it comes to the implementation of DPDPA within an organization, HR is going to have to work with multiple teams to ensure seamless compliance, right? So what are some things they can safeguard against?
Sure. I mean, very, very valid question. And just to, you know, list down a few examples of whatever they need to be careful about to avoid penalties. And of course, I'll also mention a few of the penalties and the amounts. So I think firstly, it's important to ensure that there is no non-compliance with the consent requirements wherever the consent is required. Of course, like I mentioned, in the context of employment and pre-employment, we would also wait for the government to come up with the detailed procedures and the rules. But yes, as in when we have those, it is going to be important to ensure that wherever consent is required, it is taken. Secondly, I think it's important for an organization to ensure that there's no negligence in data security, because if there's negligence in data security and it leads to any, you know, breaches or hacks, that may also entail penalties. Thirdly, it's important to ensure that there is no unauthorized data sharing, and whatever data sharing is done, even within the group companies, that is done with proper consent and through proper contracts that are signed within individuals. The next point is to ensure that, you know, there is no non-compliance with the data subjects' rights. So it's important that, you know, each individual has right to access, rectification, erasure, you know, for their data, so on and so forth. And of course, organizations, including HR, would have to ensure that they have processes in place to address these kind of rights. Another point is going to be to ensure that the processing of the data doesn't happen without a valid legal basis, and either there is explicit consent or, you know, it happens subject to the lawful conditions that are mentioned in the law. And of course, the other points are going to be a bit generic. I mean, in case a data breach happens or in case there's an incident that poses a risk to individuals' rights and freedoms, then, you know, adequate notifications would need to be sent to the authorities to ensure that the individual's rights are protected, and adequate incident response measures would need to be taken by the organizations. So these are some of the steps that the HR would need to take. Why all of this is important is because the Digital Personal Data Protection Board, which is going to be set up under this law, has the authority to impose penalties in case of, you know, certain incidents. And just to give an example, in case of personal data breach, the penalty can go up to INR 250 crores. In case of failure to notify the data breach, the penalty can go up to INR 200 crores. In case of breaches of additional obligations of significant data fiduciaries, if one happens to be categorized as that, the penalty can go up to INR 150 crores in case of breaches. To observe additional obligations in relation to the data of children, the penalty can go up to INR 200 crores. So yeah, I mean, if you look at the numbers, these are one of the highest that have ever been in any legislation in India. So certainly the intent of the government is to ensure that a culture is sort of, you know, set up in organizations so that they don't have to face these kind of financial implications.
Yeah, I mean, 250 crores will get anyone a little bit careful. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for detailing all of that for us, Mehak. Your perspective today and expertise really in the area of legal matters has been very, very helpful in understanding the nitty-gritties of the Act. And before we end today's conversation, I do want to hand over the mic to you because, you know, one thing that arises not just from DPDPA, but any legality, right, in the world, across geographies, the biggest thing is people being aware of what they can actually do under an act. And I think that's a big area of, you know, concern for many legal experts as well, right? To raise awareness that, hey, if something goes wrong, this is what you can do and you must know what you can do. So, you know, handing over the mic to you to empower our listeners, three ways the common person can protect themselves under the act.
Thank you so much, Alia. And yes, you're absolutely right. It is important for the common man to understand the rights that they have under the law and how they can enforce and protect themselves. So firstly, I think it is important for individuals to actively exercise the right to access, correct, and request deletion of personal data, and also to exercise the right of nomination as and when the need arises. Secondly, it's important to be informed, to be aware, and to ensure that individuals make informed decisions about sharing information and the manner in which they share the information. And I think lastly, it is important for individuals to report any breaches or misuse of personal data to the relevant authorities so that, you know, one can foster a collective effort towards data protection. I think these are the three ways that I would suggest to the common man to protect themselves under this law.
Okay, I have made my notes as well. thank you so much, Mehak, once again for being on this episode of Great FM. It's been a very insightful one.
Thank you so much, Alia. It's been my pleasure. And, you know, I'm glad that I could be of help and support to your listeners. And I would love to get any questions if your listeners have any, and feel free to send those to me.
Absolutely. Will do. Make sure to comment wherever you can, folks, and we'll try to pass on your questions to Mehak and also get you the responses. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll catch you on another episode of Great FM very soon. And just remember, you know, our whole world is online at this point. So you have a responsibility not only to your workplace, to your friends, your families, but to yourself as well, to protect your identity and your digital personas and data. Thank you so much for tuning in. Catch you very soon.
This is Great Defense.